Okay, Boker Tov, everybody. It's really an honor to welcome everybody, and especially to welcome Racheli Sprecher Frankel, who it's not easy, I know, to travel from Israel, and it's really an honor to have you with us for the weekend. Racheli teaches Talmud and Halakha at Nishmat, and directs the program of Halakha at Matan. She is both a graduate of the first program in advanced Talmud study at Matan and a Yoetzet Halacha at Nishmat. So she combines Gemara and Halacha, which, you know, in today's world, they're often two separate subjects. Talmud has sort of been divorced a little bit from the halachic aspect. It's really so, and she teaches, of course, in the two, I would say, primary institutions for higher learning for women in Israel, like for postgraduate people, and she's been working for over 10 years as a Yoetzet Halakha. She is the co-founder of the Jerusalem Unity Day, and she's a mother of seven children, and it's really an honor to be spending the Shabbat with you. Bakasha.
Right? Okay? But the truth is there's no separate issue and a defamation and lies and the whole tishema. Okay. Second part of the pasuk, lo ta'amod al dabrei echa. What's that? Interesting. So you're, what you're saying is actually an interpretation of the pasuk that says sometimes when you speak of a person, especially if you speak badly of a person, they turn white, they start spilling their blood, and that's your intuitive connection to Lotan with that way. Right? Okay, we'll get back to this in a second. What is the classic interpretation of Lotan with that way?
Don't stand by idly while.
Don't be an innocent bystander.
Yeah.
Right. So innocent bystander has different connotations. But if you have any ability to save, you have the duty to save. Okay? You cannot passively stand while, and what is the classic example?
Someone's drowning.
That's what's always brought up. Someone's drowning. And of course we have to say, and you are capable of saving them. You know, if you don't know how to swim, don't jump. It's part of the halakha, and you're capable of saving, and you just hang around and looking. Okay, that's lo ta'amod al dabrei echa. And we'll go into each one of these. What is Ani Hashem doing here? Okay, we'll leave it for the meanwhile, but we'll get back to it. Now, the more specific question I have is: what's the relationship between the different parts of this pasuk? You actually offered a direction, right? How would you take, let's say the first two, okay? Lo tilech l'chi b'mecha, lo ta'amod al dabrecha. What's the relationship?
Translate them literally.
Yes. Lo tilech l'chi b'mecha is do not be a peddler of news, okay? You know, going from home to home. And a little bit less literally is do not gossip. And a little less is do not bad mouth and all that. And lo ta'amod al dabrecha literally means do not stand on your brother's blood. That means passively next to your brother's blood being spilled. Yeah.
Ani Hashem Elokecha is I am God and I am judging you. And it's about I created man, you're responsible for each other, and killing, gossiping, destroying somebody's reputation is killing them, standing by while
Hashem there reflects the Creator, okay? And you were put here to not to damage.
You're responsible for each other, not just for yourself.
So I would say, feel my presence. Okay.
Or these two are general guidelines, but how do you know if you're applying them right? And that might be the third part of the sentence.
Okay. So what you're already sensing here is that there is the tension. And sometimes we will be, you know, puzzled or in dilemma, and that's where a nation comes in. We'll meet that very strong. Okay, I'm just returning to this point. Lo tilech l'chi b'mecha, lo ta'amod al dabrecha. What's the relationship between these two parts?
The active and passive can do damage also by not active.
You're saying there's...
Sometimes withholding information can also cause
pain. Okay. So that's okay. We'll get back to that point in a second. What do you think? Somebody wants it. Okay. So I'll take the two of you. Okay. You are actually saying gossiping, spreading bad news, is so bad. It could be so sinful that in some situations it's like spilling, it's like shedding blood. And that's actually what you were pointing at, right? And if we check out the Rambam here in number 3, it says, I'll translate in a minute, okay? ואף על פי שאלוקים הדבר זה אדמון גדול וגורם להרוג נפשות רבות מישראל, לכך נשמח מאוד לא תעמוד על דבריך. So actually Rambam says this, he says, gossiping, spreading, talking ill about people and not ill about it, depends on the different stages of the issue, is such a, it actually eats a society from within. And the truth is, when you meet societies that are in a very vulnerable place and you see that it's going to fall apart, usually what dug the holes from within is a lot of improper talk. And then he goes on and says, it causes bloodshed. And let me give you an example of bloodshed, and it reminds us of Do'eg Ha'edomi, it's a story in Tanakh, where talking a little bit too much in the wrong places, to the wrong people, eventually got hundreds of people murdered. So that's Mamash what you said. He said, we want to get a sense of how bad sometimes talking too much is. But that's why we're look how much that breath is right there. Remember, sometimes it's like shedding blood. But you already pointed out something else. So if we said just now that the other half of the pasuk is enhancing the first half, the first third, what you were suggesting is that sometimes it's there to limit, okay? Sometimes it's do not gossip, maybe until the point where keeping silent might be shedding blood, right? That is also something we sometimes need, okay? So the relationship could be an enhancing relationship, and it could be a limiting relationship. To what point do you not talk until it's about to cause damage. Okay? So since I might maybe go a little bit to this direction, I want to start out with what we all know. Here in Elchin, in number two, there's actually a long piece. I brought only like two lines, first and almost last. אמר רבי יוחנן ישוב רבי יוסי בן זירא, כל המספר לשון הרע כאילו כפר בעיקר. Okay, now it's a list, and every time there's a proof from a pasuk or something like that. But the first one here is, in a sense, you start saying lashon hara, it's kfirah, it's heresy. It's like, it's the worst thing you can say. And here there's a side discussion I'm not going to develop regarding when there's very severe talk against the phenomena. Okay, does it mean, you know, it could mean that this is unthinkable, and it could mean that it's a common phenomenon and we're working very hard to fight against it. We find examples through both directions. But say, most of the talk about Kedushat Eretz Yisrael and how you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, and Mishe Lo Chayv Eretz Yisrael Kilo Elo Elo, is like idol worship, etc., etc., is when there started being a very big threat of Yerida, of leaving Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and that's a phenomenon we know. Well, once something becomes problematic, you start speaking very severely against it. With Lashon Hara, we know this is something, nobody's protected from. And here there's a big effort to say how terrible Lashon Hara can be. The other one from the long list I chose to bring is Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Chisda. Kol ha-mesaper Lashon Hara, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, En ani ve-hu yicholim ledur ba'olam. So the person that is using, I imagine this is not a one-time thing, but if someone is in the habit of speaking Lashon Hara, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, look, it's either me or you. Doesn't leave much option. So we put it out there, we understand the severity and the heavy weight of Lashon Hara. And just to finish this point, Rambam has Aleph, we read Aleph, now we'll read Beth. Ezeh orachil, zeh shetoem dvarim olech mizeh mizeh, mizeh lizeh, v'omer kach v'maklo, nikach v'kach shanah v'kach. What is a gossiper? The person that you know, picks up from one thing and goes to the other, one person says, this one said that, and that one said that, etc., etc. Af al pi shehu emet, arei zeh mecharib et ha'olam. Even though it's true, eventually it destroys your society. יש אבון גדול מזה עד מאוד, והוא בכלל לא זה בלשון הרע. והוא מספר בגנות חברה, אף על פי שאומר אמת. As we mentioned, the second stage is, it's not, you know, just neutral things, it's negative stuff. It's also true, but it's negative. אבל הוא אומר shekel and kamo tishem al kavoho, and that's already, you know, what we mentioned as information, etc. So, this was mostly about what lecha did and lecha. For now, we'll expand a little bit on lo tamod el tavrech. Here in Sanhedrin, there appears in more than one sugya, but here with this one from Sanhedrin. And this is the classic example of you all mentioned. Minay leroit chavro shetoveh benahar, o chaya gorotu, o yistim beyolah. If a person sees his friend drowning in the river, being, you know, attacked by an animal, or attacked by robbers, yistim, shu chayav letzilo, how do we know that if you're capable of saving, you must, you know, become active and save? Talmud lomar, lo tamod adam recha. That's what we learn, lo tamod adam recha, that's the mitzvah. And now the Gemara, as the Gemara likes, attacks this point. V'ha me'acha nefka? Mi'hatam nefka? That's what we learned from Lotam Odan Dan Ba'echa. We have a different source for that. Avedat gufo minayin, Talmud lomar, v'ashevoto lo. So now the Gemara says, I don't need the source of Lotam Odan Dan Ba'echa to know that I have to actively save a person. That comes from a totally different mitzvah. And again, yesterday in the introduction, it was just mentioned on the way with the whole list of things. And really, I mean, you've been here for 10 years, so you know all this stuff. But a person should be able to say, what do I mean Shabbat Avedah? What does Shabbat Avedah have to do with it? Because we're used to thinking about the Shabbat Avedah as this sweet mitzvah. We learned in kindergarten. You know, you walk in the street, you find a wallet, you check, you find the phone, you know. Find a cell phone, you wait until someone calls for mommy, you know, and your aunt and say, yeah, I got there. And that's a Shabbat Avedah, right? So it turns out the Shabbat Avedah goes beyond that. You know, it's one thing is if you find the phone on the street. The other thing is if this phone is right here, you know, it's going to bother you to concentrate because you're going to feel that any second it's going to fall, right? And it's about to fall and crash, okay? Catching that or preventing that or telling you to, you know, that itself is a Shabbat Avedah. Why? Because a Shabbat Avedah is actually not only taking the property, the lost property, and returning it to the owner, it's preventing monetary damage. Okay? It's taking one step beyond it, and being there the second before it happens and preventing the damage. You wake up in the morning, and you go for the jog, and you see that by your neighbor the pipe is burst. And water is starting to gush and fill up the whatever, it's damaging. Okay? Fixing or calling or any active thing that you will do to prevent the damage that's about to happen, it's not just a nice thing to do, it's not just benadam l'chavo or whatever, it's mitzvah, the Shabbat Avedah. Okay? It's the same mitzvah. Okay? So we expanded Shabbat Avedah from returning lost property to preventing any damage. And here the Drasha says, "Vashevoto lo." It sounds like in Hebrew it's like a double. The O in the end could have been within the word Hashevoto. What do you mean Hashevoto lo? Returning to himself? And they ask themselves, what act is returning a person to himself? Okay? It says, simply, it's not only preventing any monetary damage, okay? It's preventing any physical damage. And if a person is lost in a field, and if a person is about to get hurt, and if it, you know, something's happening, anything you can do to prevent damage to your fellow, actually here this is achicha, is mitzvah Shabbat Avedah. So it's a very interesting phenomenon though, because you start out with a mitzvah that you think, okay, this is one of the mitzvot I learned in kindergarten. I know this one, okay? And you learn and you understand it's much wider than that. And it expects of you, the Torah expects of you, a much greater involvement and responsibility. Okay? Because it's no longer just a jog in the morning. And then suddenly you go into calculation, how much is your time worth, and how much, et cetera, et cetera. There are details of mitzvah like any other mitzvah. But the demand is be aware, open your eyes, and be responsible for any prevention of physical or monetary damage that you couldn't prevent. Okay? So the Gemara here goes on. Avdat gufo mi 49, happened to the loss of his body. Talmud Rama, Shavuot Lo. Ime hatam, hatamina, hanimile benafshe. Aval mitrach omega rabore, ema lo. Kama shmela. So, they say, no, we do need the mitzvah of lo tamod al dabre echa. Okay? Because if it were only up to Shabbat al Gadah, so anything that you can do is fine. Okay, like if you went through a lifeguard's course and you can jump and save a person, go ahead. Okay, that's a Shabbat Avedah. But hiring people to do it because you can do it, the spending money or that kind of thing, that isn't necessarily part of a Shabbat Avedah. For that, we need Lo Ta'amod Al Gamrech. So if we go back to that situation, where you see the person, you know, falling off into the river, and right next to you, you have this big guy that obviously knows how to do it, and you say, I'll give you $20, just jump, okay? That's Lo Ta'amod Al Gamrech. And that might be something that from a Shabbat Avedah you wouldn't have to do, okay? Okay, so then we're going to expand a little bit more on Lo Ta'amod. So here in 7, there's Rambam. Kol ha'yechol la'atil ve'lo itil over Lo Ta'amod al Damrecha. Anybody that could save and didn't save, he transgresses Lo Ta'amod al Damrecha. V'chen ha'ro'ed ha'chavor tovea v'yam ha'listim v'yam la'am. This is straight from the Gemara, right? Now you see how Rambam brings the words of the Gemara. חייב האהבה עליו, ויכול להצילו, הוא בעצמו, או שיזכור אחרים להצילו, this is already the סוגיה, he says, and he can save them, or he can hire someone to save them, ולא איתי, and he didn't, by the way, you can always, you know, ask for the money back, that's okay. You can, after you save the person, he dried up and he's calm and healthy, you can ask him for the money instead. That doesn't, you know, you don't miss the schala mitzvah for that. And now, again, it is, I think, a bit of a similar phenomenon. Sorry, my English didn't quite get good. It goes like this. Or, and it goes beyond the three classic examples. Or shishama goyim or muslim mechashvim al avra. Maybe he was standing around, or he has connections, and he heard of bad guys of this kind of an, or the other, from within the nation or from without, from outside, contemplating bad things regarding the person he knows. Okay? Otomnim lo kach, they're going to set him up. Ve'lo gila ozen chavero ve'odiro, and he didn't tell him about it to save him from the trap that's coming up. O she'yada be'goy, o be'anas, she'u kovel el chavero ve'yachol efaiso, b'glal chavero, le'asir ma she'bidro ve'lo piso. This is already another stage. Okay? One thing is you physically see something's going to happen. Second is, you hear somebody's planning a trap. You must, you know, do what it takes to save the person. Third is, you hear someone's angry. They're upset. They didn't say the words, I'm going to set him up. They didn't say the word, I'm going to get to him. They're just very, very upset. And you know something might happen. Okay? They're angry. And you have the ability to appease them. Okay? You have the ability to calm them down. And you didn't, and eventually something bad happened, that's what I wanted to do. Now again, just like we had in the Shabbat HaVedah, okay? We thought we knew what Lata Modeh Damrecha is. Yeah, the guy that falls into the river. And now it's about making peace between people. You're keeping your eyes open to you know, what's going on, and people that are in danger, and someone that's going to be set up. It goes way beyond our classic example. It takes a very, or I'm here, a very general demand for responsibility. Okay? The one thing you can do is this. Okay? How do you call it? Blindfold?
Blinders.
Yeah. Okay? You can. Okay? And I just wanted to go out to a job. Yeah.
It sounds like there's, you're still making the case that the obligation is to prevent. Yeah. It's not to make peace. That's a different thing. Preventing harm, that's a different kind of a moral claim. They're very different things.
You're right, but the sentence here in the Rambam is v'yachol efaiso b'glal chavaro l'asir ma shebilivo v'lo piso. Meaning, in this specific situation, the way to prevent is to appease the person, to calm them down, to make them feel better. Okay? So it's not the general virtue of making peace of other people, or the general denial, you know, to be a Aaron HaKohen, that's a different story. But here, the way to prevent is the usually when there's not that say, to transgress it, you have to do something active. Here, it's a kind of not that say, but there are kinds of different kinds of not that say. Here, if you stand passive by that, you transgress So what did we do up to now? We touched lightly on Lot Rechachil. We gave room to Lashon Hara as a serious thing. We expanded Mitzvah Shabbat Avodah. I think we expanded also Lot Ha'amod Al Dam Rech. Now, response, okay? Now, you all know that the meat of this stuff is always in the response. And this is Tzitzit Eliezer from Baltimore. Has been years ago in Yerushalayim. Hashem had a very long life, so that made him. He, by his glad nature, was very a great mitzvah that was very very fruitful. Right. But the fact that he also lived a long life made it. First of all, we got more years of that. But also, he became very involved in anything that has to do with technology, with medicine, with being your own sovereign ruler in Medinat Yisrael, and things that have to do that derive from that. And of course, you've all heard endlessly about Tzitzit, so I won't extend. Okay, I cut out a little bit, but it starts out with saying that this is a letter from a Haredi eye doctor that writes in to ask this question. And then he repeats the question. במקרה והרופא מוצא אצל החולה ליקוי בראייה, שלדעת הרופא עלול לגרום בתנאים מסוימים לתאונה. והחולה אינו רוצה להפסיק לנהוג ברכב או לשנות את מקום עבודתו. האם חייב הרופא לשמור את סוד המחלה, או שמחויב להודיע לשלטונות המתאימים? So, one of these classic questions, an eye doctor, he recognizes a disease, maybe even a degenerative eye problem, we don't know exactly. And apparently there's a dialogue between the doctor and the patient where the doctor says, you really should not be driving this. And he says, I promise you, I won't drive. He says, yeah, but your bosses have to know about this. He says, no, I give you my word, I will not drive, just don't tell anything to my bosses. Okay? So the doctor writes to the rabbi and asks, what do I do? And the rabbi says, So this is this whole dialogue between the doctor and the patient. But the doctor is not convinced that the patient will really stop driving. Okay? This is not true with Tiazen. This is my answer. בוודאי מחויב הרופא להודיע לשלטונות המתאימים ולמעבידו של החולה על מגבלותיו. Okay? It's very clear to him. You have to let both the government and the boss know about the person's limitation and the fact that he should not be driving. Now, in any of these cases, there's changes. Like there's a case that's going to come up soon, where some of the laws and the norms of dealing with patients have changed over the last few decades. And let's say like things like the privacy of the patient's information, and what do you do or don't say to a patient, etc. Here is that a case where, I don't know how it is in America, but in Israel, there is a legal obligation. Report things that you think. How does it work in America?
Yeah, you're obligated.
Sorry.
The case that he brings here is only in the case that it's going to be harmful to others.
So the thing is, he has
in this case.
Yeah.
But it's
what are you limiting?
I broke my leg. Does the doctor have a responsibility to tell my employer it's not going to harm anybody? I'll show
them. No. But
in this case. My lack of vision is going to cause
sure.
a car accident.
For sure,
so
for
he
sure.
says then it's the responsibility.
I'm sorry, I can say that clearly enough. For sure,
yeah,
that's
only
what we're
if it's going to cause.
Obviously,
party
that's
damage.
What we're concerned with.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, over the years, the laws about privacy and patients' information and disclosures, things like that, became very, very serious. But this clause still exists. But if you think the person is dangerous, yeah.
I think in America that you can't.
That you can't report a person that...
I think, that, I mean, I know, like, even with HIV, you have to get some kind of court order to inspect the blood if somebody, if a person, if a doctor sticks himself with a needle for a patient and the patient has HIV, but he doesn't know it, and I don't think the patient has, that the HIV person has to reveal it. I think you may have to get a court order. If privacy laws in the United States have become very prominent in the rights of the individual over the rights of society.
Interesting. HIPAA. Yeah.
Just back to the driving. In Canada, there's an obligation also to report to the Ministry of Transportation, so that there wouldn't be any need to ask the rabbi. You have a duty to report, and if you don't, you can get in trouble. If something happens, you can get in trouble.
Right. Of course, there still could be a lachik question on the other hand, because you're preventing him from his parnasah. So a person might want to ask the rabbi, is it okay that I have to tell the government? Okay, from that. But I recently, someone I know that was diagnosed with young age dementia. And with the diagnosis, they automatically sent the government a notification that he can't drive. Now this person is a wonderful driver, and he might be safe for another 3 years. And it's a terrible change in his life to stop driving. And they had to go through a whole process of proving that he's driving. Okay. So I became very aware of the fact that they actually do it. They report. Okay, but what we're interested in is what Torah language is it going to use to say you must report? Okay, we had this intuition that if he's a danger to society, we have to stop him. But how is he going to say? So he says like this: even if he asks you not to say, as long as you're not convinced that he won't, you really have to report. And it doesn't matter if you're called to testify, you have to go testify. But even if you're not called, you have to initiate it and tell the government. Because otherwise you can sometimes endanger others. Okay? And if you don't do it, you're over the time of the damrecha. Why is it over the time of the damrecha? Nothing is happening now. Eventually, you might, not see something and hurt somebody. And even now, it's not the only relevant concept. In such medical conventions, you're constantly talking about a patient that itakaman or leitakaman is in front of us, or is a statistical patient, right? So it's not the only topic here, but he says, even though it's nothing specific now, but he might turn to be dangerous. You have to prevent it. You have to report and prevent it. Otherwise, you're over
Okay,
thank you. Yes.
Just to clarify, so are you over al mitzvah, even if in the end nothing happens? If you don't say that in the end nothing happens, you're still over al mitzvah.
So I don't know how the big bubblegum jars of our mitzvot and averot work, and how the counting exactly goes, and when you get a point, and I don't know how it works. But as far as living up to your obligation, yes, you refrain from really doing what you're supposed to do. So,
behavior is the same idea. You may very well to take a shul. So if you give somebody bad advice, but actually turns out to be good advice, you're still over the isser.
Right.
It's not the result. It's at the time of the activity. Whatever.
So yesterday in introduction, someone also mentioned that. I don't remember that, he said that there was a bris chalukah about Ofer, okay? When he was talking from Rabbi Steinberg, why should you be a doctor? So should you be mishtadel? Do you have to succeed? Whatever
right.
Okay. There's a piece here from the Pitrei Shuva. It's not our Pitrei Shuva that we're always used to. It's Pitrei Shuva no Chaim. It happens sometimes with writers that if a name became a popular book, And he says this. He says, I quote the translation, but if you don't like, I'll read it in Hebrew. וראיתי להזכיר פה הדבר של כל הספרי מוסר איש את העולם לרבון לשון הרע. Okay? Everybody teaches us מוסר. Everybody that trying to educate us is making havoc in the world about how bad לשון הרע is. ואנוכי מרעיש העולם להיפוך אבון גדול מזה וגם הוא מצוי יותר. These are very surprising words. He says, and I want to talk about something that's more severe and more common. More severe and more common, and you ask yourself, what's more common than Lashon Hara? Vehu meniat atzmo miledaber b'makom hanitzlach la'atzil ha'ashuk miyad oshek. It's refraining from speaking out when you have to save the oppressed from the oppressor. Maybe it's more severe, but it's more common. Derech mashal, and now he brings the examples. Some of them are more metaphorical. B'mi sh'ra'a b'echad sh'orev al chavero b'orma al derech b'midbar lehorgo, o sh'ra'a machperet b'layla b'beito, o b'chanuto, ha'yitachen sh'imana m'lehodi al chavero sh'yizayar m'imenu ishur m'isur l'shon hara? Halo avonot atam m'isur, sh'obar alo tam ot al tam ra'elcha. Say, you know, someone's, there's a trap, burglars, somebody's setting up a trap, and you see it happening, and you say, I can't say anything, it's a Lashon Hara on the thieves. That's absurd. Again, he purposely brings it as a solo, but the idea is, what does Lashon Hara have to do? This would be too great a sin to bear, the sin of standing idle while another's life is threatened. Okay? And that would bring more common examples. And if you know of a monetary damage that's going on and you're not preventing, it's not only what does it matter if what I see is his servants cheating him, or his business partner, again cheating, or his friend making some? Yeah. When I actually sat down to translate it, I paid attention to the wording. The different kinds of people trying to steal him for money. Or, and this is again, listen to this example. O shelava ma'ot hugava delo par'anamu. Okay? You know of a person that is borrowing money, okay? And you know that there's no chance he'll be able to get the money back. Okay? Now think of that situation. Someone is really in need for financial help. And you know that really what you should be saying is, if you want to give tzedakah, if you want to give a gift, go ahead, this is a worthy person, he needs help. Don't assume you'll get your money back, okay? But interfering in such a situation is really, it could be a terrible hurt to the person that needs the loan. Okay? And this is something we meet daily. Someone needs help, yeah, he deserves the help, but someone should be telling the other person, go ahead and help him. Just don't assume he'll get it done. Now, socially, this is very complicated. Okay? Who's going to end up hating me? And then, of course, the obvious people, huh? And of course, comes up the example of shidduch, okay? And he knows he's a bad person, and it's a bad idea to marry him. And again, everybody could, say six stories from their life, nachon? Both the ones where you didn't interfere, and everything worked out. And the times where, at the time of divorce, the person gets up and said, what? You all knew about this, and nobody told me? Okay? And too many people are nodding their heads. This actually happens all the time. Okay? And what's, what, they're my friends now. What if she ends up marrying, or he ends up marrying her, they're going to hate me forever. Do you talk? Do you night talk? What if she never finds anybody else? This is our life. This is my life, everyday dilemmas, right? So he's claiming that in all these cases, we choose to look aside. We choose to shut up. We choose to, you know, let's not mess with other people's business. But as far as he's concerned, he says, it's sometimes a shakat avida. It's worse than, you know, the worst sin. Okay, so now it's the million-dollar question. Okay? How do you talk? When do you talk? When do you start? Now, he's trying to offer a tool that says, okay, I'll give you the one tool you can use to differentiate between the cases where you have to talk and the cases where you're not allowed to talk. And you're like yearning to him, yes, give us this tool, okay? אם כוונתו לרעת האחד הוא לשון הרע, אבל אם כוונתו לטובת השני להצילו לשמור הוא מצווה רבה. Okay? So what you're expected to do is look deep into your heart and try to clear out all, you know, our interests, and it's like we say, ותהר ליבנו לעבודתך, okay? So you try to have a לב טהור here and to ask yourself, what am I really trying to do here? Am I trying to damage this person, or am I trying to save the other person? Now, I don't know what you think about this tool. It's a little bit frustrating. what do you say?
It's hard, and
sometimes you say it's insufficient because life is so complicated. It could be gam gam. It could be not. And the truth is, this tool is describing it for itself is frustrating because it's so, you know, really. But that's our reality. I truly feel there's nothing else. Okay? There's nothing else but being as honest as you can and as clear-headed as you can and take the responsibility and understand that there's a you know, at home. How do you say at home?
An abyss on this side,
and one on the other side. Okay, it's not like one way is the safe way. No. Yeah. So we have no choice but to try to use this tool of looking clearly into our heart and saying, okay, let's try to do the right thing. Okay. But here comes the next sentence. Like that. It's gonna come. ואתה כמה פעמים אתם רואים תקלת חברינו והרשת הפרוסה לרגליהם לאדם רע וכובשים פנינו ואומרינו מה לנו להכניס בדבר השם לא נוגע לנו. See, is this right reality? And he says, you know, so many times you say, just don't mess with other people, stay out of it, okay? And he's, you know, he speaks very strongly against it. ובדברים אלו וכיוצא באלו כבר אמרו חז"ל בדבר המסור ללב נאמר ויראת מאלוקיך. Okay, so the pasuk goes, ויראת מאלוקיך אני השם, just like by us, אני השם. Okay? It says, where do we have this ending? בדברים המסורים ללב. And things that are given to your heart, where it's only up to your judgment, but not just intellectual judgment, it's your honest judgment. Okay? So what's the statement there? So we're going back to this, what does אני השם do here? Please help me. Okay? We now understand that both sides could be very, very problematic. Ani Hashem. What does Ani Hashem do here now?
It's making it clear that this is something that's much for the love and that no one else might know about it, but you're responsible to your creator to decide what the right course of action is.
So you say, first of all, your responsibility is to a higher authority. Okay, you know, you're messed up between these, but your direction should be that way. Okay, and don't be afraid.
When you're trying to decide what to do, search your heart for what your motivation is, because I know what's in your heart, and the Hashem. So
who are you gonna fool?
Yes. Right.
Right. So there's what it's actually saying is there's another pair of eyes there watching you, and you feel like it's legamre dvarim hamesurim lelev, you're alone, but somebody's looking. We yeah.
extent that it's subjective, you can build it yourself. Sounds like you could easily make the case there and say, why would you ask a rav? For sure you don't know yourself, but you'll know yourself better than anybody. But we say, if we don't know ourselves, how are we going to know somebody else? So I should ask somebody else.
So the truth is, what I hear here is, if you go ask the rav, this is what the rav is going to tell you. He's going to tell you, look deep into your heart. Let's consider everything.
So if you didn't know the principle,
he'll teach you all the principles involved. Like the principle of you can't look away. Okay? You can't look away when there's monetary damage. You can't look away when there's physical damage. You can't look away when the person is in trouble and you can prevent it. Okay? And maybe there's one more layer here, and that is can I have 5 minutes for Matana? Thank you. One of the things we say when Yosef was about to sin, right? So we said that he saw Dmut Yochan Aviv, and actually the Yerushalmi is also his mother, Rachel and Yaakov. Suddenly he sees their eyes, right? And at first when we think about that, it sounds very critical to us, you know? You're not going to let me down, right? It's that look in the eye that can stop a person when they're, you know, they already had their made up, their mind made up, like as Mara is describing it. But it's his father's eyes, okay, his mother's eyes. So beyond the criticism, there's also something there that says, I trust you, you can do this. There's compassion there, there's support. So when you experience the eyes of the Kadosh Baruch Hu with you in this place, so there's a scrutiny, you know, there's, you have to be honest, you can't fool anybody, we're looking, you have a higher authority to answer to. But it's also the saying, I'm with you. You can do the right thing, you're gonna do the right thing. There's compassion in that look. Okay?
Maybe that's the Ani Hashem, to differentiate it from Be'eret.
There are some that have only Nisha and some that have Be'eret Malukah and Nisha. For instance, the chatunah. There's another question here with shidduch, where a young person is unaware of his terminal condition, and do you tell the fiance about the situation? Now he's not aware because it used to be the rules of medicine. You don't tell a person. It's only going to make him worse, it's not going to help, so you don't tell him, you don't tell his family, they're not supposed to know. You're going to do whatever you can as a doctor, but you can't let them know that he's going to die anyhow. Right? So the young person didn't know when he got engaged, and now they turn to the rabbi. What are we going to do? Should we tell the fiancé? And again, what we're interested in is what's the Torah rule? What words is he using? So, of course, he's saying, okay, we're not going to read it from within. And a lot of detail. And then he brings in a third. We spoke about Shabbat HaVedah. We spoke about Lotham HaVedah Malecha. And he brings in what you mentioned, and that is Yufnei Gerotit HaMachshuv. Now, again, without taking too much time, this is another one of these mitzvot, where we thought we know what Yufnei Gerotit HaMachshuv. Actually, we didn't. Only when we really, really didn't understand anything. It was like this image of a blind person going and you make him trip. Okay? But as we grew and we learned Torah, we understood it's Iver B'davar. Okay? If you're blind in the situation, okay? If you don't have the information, if you. Okay? So there, again, this mitzvah becomes a demand for very wide responsibility. Don't give a person bad advice. Don't let him fall. Don't let him walk down the wrong path. Okay? If you can prevent it. Okay? Well, there are differences. But, so he brings in here Lifnei Ver, and we'll read Rashi in 14. V'yerecha me'elokecha lefi shadavar hazeh eno masur lebriyot lebriyot neidai da'ato shel zeh letovah ulera'ah. ויכול להישמת ולומר לטובה להתכוונתי, I meant for the better. לפיכך נאמר בו, ויראת מאלוקיך, המכיר מחשבותיך, השם knows what you're thinking. וכן כל דבר המסור לליבו של אדם, everything that's given to the heart of the judgment, העושה ובין שאר בריאות מכירות בו, נאמר בו, And actually, and I'll end with this, these tsukim are all in one, they all come together. It starts out with, and goes on to lo tisnei et achicha bivadecha, ochech, ochech et amitecha, lo tisa alavchem. That's the duty to rebuke, to if possible, to say what's on your heart, not to keep grudges, and to help a person correct their ways. And the next one is lo tikam lo titov neimlecha, v'ahavta l'elacha kamocha, ani Hashem. So eventually, it's the Ramban there, I think, is telling these three tzukim like a tale, like a story. It started out with gossip, then it went on with, you know, passive involvement. Then it went into grudges that weren't corrected, et cetera, et cetera. And it ends up, hey, the way to work in reverse and create a society that has v'ahavta l'elacha kamocha and experiences ani Hashem in the utmost sense is, I guess there's no choice but to put down the blindfolds, the blinders, and to notice, and to stay engaged, and to stay involved. And what can we do? We just cannot stay passive, okay? If there's a damage to be prevented, Torah calls us in a million